Good evening. It's good to be with you all this evening. I want to start by telling you guys a story about a former Navy SEAL. The story is often attributed to him. His name is Jocko Willink. But it's about his morning routine. Every single morning he wakes up, whether it's rain or shine, winter or summer, he wakes up, starts his day with a cold shower or a ice bath. He doesn't do it because he enjoys it, but because it teaches him something. He says, every morning, my body tells me, don't do this. It's going to be awful. And every morning, I choose to do it anyway. It's not about the shower. It's about proving to myself, first thing every morning, that I am in control of me. Not my comfort, not my feelings, not my excuses. As an excellent example of self-mastery. For us as Christians, we're in a spiritual battle every single day. We don't always have to choose our battlefield, but we do choose how prepared we are for that battle. Self-control is not just a helpful trait, but it's a spiritual wall of defense against evil. Proverbs 25:28 says, a man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. If we lack self-control, Satan and his armies have no difficulty in capturing us and enslaving us to sin. And for us to gain freedom, we must walk in the Spirit. Turn to Galatians 5. Galatians 5, starting in verse 16. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Self-control not only helps us to gain our freedom, but I believe it plays a key role in us obtaining the other fruits of the Spirit as well. And also abstaining from the desires of the flesh. Mastering ourselves through self-control is a process that works our entire body. It involves every bone in our body. So tonight I have just 206 short points to go over about self-control. Now we're just going to talk about three ways that we can master ourselves through self-control. And the first way is we have to control what we're allowing into ourselves. We have to think about and control our eyes. Matthew 6, verse 22 says, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? You cannot serve two masters. If I am to let my light shine, first of all, I've got to understand where that light is coming from. I can only receive the light through keeping my eyes on God. Focusing on the world will not provide me with any light. I'll be full of darkness. I cannot look at worldly things and look at God at the same time. I need to be shining my light always. So my focus needs to always be on God. Psalm 101, verse 3. I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away and shall not fasten its grip on me. Can you think of anything more worthless or destructive than pornography? There are plenty of worthless and destructive things. And if you let it, pornography will fasten its grip upon you, upon all of us. Job 31, verse 1, I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman? This verse is obviously has a, you know, implications about avoiding lust with our eyes, but I pointed this verse out too because the things that we look at do not have to be inherently sinful for them to draw our focus away from God and cause us to sin. They definitely don't have to be sexual in nature. Anything can draw our focus away from God. We also have to control what comes into our ears. Who and what are we listening to? Proverbs 17, verse 4. An evildoer listens to wicked lips. A liar listens or pays attention to destructive tongue. Proverbs 14, verse 7. Leave the presence of a fool, or you will not discern the words of knowledge. If we are constantly bombarding ourselves with worldly things through the things that we watch on TV, the movies that we watch, what we listen to on the radio, or the podcast we choose to listen to, or even just listening to foolish talk, we'll become callous to those things and fall more easily into temptation. The verse in Proverbs 14 says that we should walk away from those things. Just walk away from that foolishness. Because eventually you're not going to be able to tell what's right or wrong. So what should we do instead? Proverbs 2, verse 2. Make your ear attentive to wisdom. Incline your heart to understanding. There's a simple solution for us. I'm going to be turning to a lot of verses tonight. Don't feel obligated to turn to all of them. Another way that we can control what goes in is to control our bellies. Philippians 3, 18 and 19. For many walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. And they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. Remember that verse. We'll come back to it. But we also think about Daniel when this context comes up. Daniel 1, verse 8 said, Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with king's food or with the wine that he drank. Daniel did that to that he might not break the law by eating the defiled food. But we should be equally as concerned about what we eat and even more about the quantity that we eat. Gluttony is a commonly ignored sin in our country, even among brethren. How often do we eat purely for our physical pleasure or eat so much that it makes us uncomfortable or sick? Have we ever gloried in our shame of how much we've overeaten? Maybe after a holiday meal? When we serve our belly instead of God, we make it our master instead of mastering it. Paul says that people who do this are enemies of the cross. We cannot take that lightly. 1 Corinthians 9, 27. But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. What comes into our bodies through our eyes and through our ears and what goes into our bellies and how much? A lot of times that happens in secret. The majority of the time we can do those things without anybody seeing us. But let's think about the things which come out of us. Because those things are going to reveal how much control we really are in. We can do that by having self-restraint. Controlling what goes out of us. We've got to control our tongues. Our tongues are extraordinarily powerful. One word from the president could cause the stock market to crash or send us into a life-changing war, you know, but we don't often think about the times when the stakes don't seem so high. We're just with a few friends or with a few coworkers, and it's just our family around, just a couple cousins, you know. The stakes are always high when it comes to our tongues. We have to be very careful how we use them. 2 Timothy 2, verse 16. Avoid worldly chatter, worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness. Empty words, just speaking to fill the silence, that's a dangerous habit. We are much more loose with our tongues when we think that it doesn't really matter, aren't we? James 1, verse 26. If anyone among you thinks he is religious but does not bridle his tongue, deceives his own heart, and this one's religious is useless. Well, controlling our tongues, it seems very important. How are we supposed to do that? Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. I'm sure we've all heard, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. If I had a mirror up here, I probably should speak this directly into that. But sometimes saying nothing is the right thing to do. Not just a good idea. It's the right thing to do. James 3, verse 2. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, also able to bridle the whole body. We can master our tongues, and we've gone a long way to mastering it all. We've also got to control what we do with our hands. Ephesians 4:28, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who is in need. Obviously, we need to restrain our hands from doing evil. But we also know the phrase that idle hands are the devil's workshop. Idleness and laziness lead to temptation. So it's best for us to keep our hands busy with doing good. Because as Paul said to the Corinthians, you're never wasting time if you're doing good. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that labor is not in vain in the Lord. In Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your might. We busy our hands with good, but we ought to give it our best effort every time. So we control what comes out of our mouths. We control our hands and we retrain our hands to do good. We also have to make sure we're controlling where our feet go. It's every part of us. Proverbs 4:26. Ponder the path of your feet. Then all of your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. We've got to think about the places that we're going, not only physically, but the direction we're taking our lives. We cannot simply walk willy-nilly around without thinking about what might result from the steps that we take. We've got to follow the path that is shown in God's Word. Psalm 119, 105. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. After we've considered our steps, we've got to stick to that path and not walk toward evil. If we think about it tangibly, if we are tempted to sin by alcohol, we probably should not take that road home from work that goes by the liquor store that we used to go to. We have to think about those things beforehand and choose the path that will steer us toward righteousness and away from temptation. We've got to learn how to control these things that go out from us so that we aren't just doing every little thing that we desire. Have to restrain ourselves. And as Christians, we need to have readjusted our minds so that we can control the things that are inside of us as well through self-discipline. Controlling what we keep inside of our minds, what's occupying our mind. Philippians 4, 8 and 9. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. And the God of peace will be with you. To have discipline means that we are practicing daily, even when we don't want to do it. That's what true discipline is, self-discipline. If we have properly controlled our eyes and our ears, maybe we won't have as much fuel for our minds to be consumed with worldly things, but we still need our minds to be renewed because the thing that's consuming our mind might just be ourselves. Romans 12, verse 2 and 3. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me and to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Having control over our minds requires us to weed out the worldly things from our thoughts, but it also requires us to weed out our pride and our selfishness. Remember what Paul said about those to the Philippians, about those whose God was their belly, whose mind was on earthly things, enemies of the cross. We also have to control our emotions that we keep inside of us. Proverbs 9, verse 11, the discretion of a man makes him slow to anger. Glory is to overlook a transgression. We probably get the most angry, or the most emotional when we've been wronged, right? But if we have control over our emotions, we can probably see that it's not worth getting so angry that our anger controls us, and we'll be more ready to forgive. Ephesians 4, 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. We've been forgiven of all of our sins, yet sometimes we still hold grudges against people. It's selfish and it's bitter. That's letting our negative emotions control us. James 1, 19. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. We're not helping God out by being wrathful. If we hold back anything, all these emotions, if we bottle everything up for long enough, we're probably likely to blow up on somebody and subject people to our wrath and potentially drive someone away. We've got to work out our emotions without lashing out at people. And we also have to control our desires. James 1, verse 14. Each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desire and enticed. And then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Our desires can be changed. The ultimate proof of self-discipline is that we no longer even want those things that used to give us pleasure. We can scarcely be tempted by things we no longer have the desire to do. It takes training. It takes discipline. Galatians 5:24. To wrap up the verse that we started with. Those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Our problem often is that we seek to be comfortable. What can make me more comfortable or inconvenience me less? Sometimes all we work for is more comfort. Get more money so we can get a bigger house and make ourselves a little bit more comfortable. Maybe even more nuanced than that. Maybe it's, I'm just trying to get to 5 o'clock so I can go home. I'm just trying to get to the weekend. I'm just trying to get to that vacation or just trying to get to retirement. Our comfort here will not provide us true rest. Let's leave those old desires and our desire for comfort. Let's leave that in the dirt with the old man that we buried with Christ. So we've controlled our minds, our emotions, our desires. We've got to give full control to Jesus through self-submission. Without self-control, we are walled cities, open to attack. We're controlled by our desires, enslaved to sin. But if we walk in the Spirit and discipline every part of ourselves, what comes in, what goes out, what we keep inside of us, then we'll be fortified against temptation and we'll glorify God. This is not a casual or occasional type of thing. It is a daily, full body exercise of intentionally bringing our eyes, our ears, our stomachs, our tongues, our hands and our feet, our minds, our emotions, our desires under control, under the control of Jesus. Galatians 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I think the key to mastering ourselves is understanding this phrase right here. It's not about me. Self-control is emptying ourselves completely, removing our desires, our comforts, our opinions, our feelings, and filling up our vessel with Jesus, so that there's no room left for us. One last verse. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And Jesus said to them, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." If you've been living without self-control, without the wall, spiritual defense, do not leave here vulnerable. Deny yourself. Crucify the old self. Be buried with him in baptism into his death. And rise to walk in newness of life. And give Jesus full control. If you need to respond to the invitation, come forward now as we stand and sing.